It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show, and sorry about that. Pushed the wrong button. Anyway, had several things lined up, and we'll see how they play out today. And we're in the Christmas season, so things are looking pretty good. So what we have, I was going to have some guests, and either they're delayed or, you know, it is the holiday season, and God only knows what we all do. But yesterday was and the day before, actually, that we know that the world was going to end. And for either this is the afterlife or whatever, I don't know how you would describe it, but seems to be that it's the same things that occurred the day before the world was to end are still occurring. So I'm going to think that it didn't end. But anyway, during this time, I saw a display of people working. And, you know, we have this issue. We describe it as homelessness, and we describe it as the down-and-out people. But the reality is that it is people without a roof over their head. But we really don't give into account or take into consideration, we, not all of us, because as I'm going to talk, is a number of us do care. And in that caring, they reach out and they go way beyond and above what people normally do to help those that are, and I like to describe them as less fortunate, because we don't take into account, and I shouldn't generalize, but I say as I grew up, people fail to, or were not honest about taking things into account, why we would have someone that is without a home, or what have you. And let's say you are, let's start back with the founding of this country. And I'd like to, if you, any of you got any comments, but I'd like to do something that rarely is done. And that's to try and talk about the root of all evil and starting from scratch. So we arrive at the shores of this country, and the settlers come in, and we start to displace the native people. And we chase them around, and we beat them up and shoot them up and poison them and do whatever, because we've discovered them and what have you. So that population of people are displaced, and so you look at them, the ones that are displaced and impacted, and they don't have a home because you got them on the run and living on reservations, and so you're prospering with all this newfound wealth and that you've as discoverers. And so you have that population of people that exist. And in the old days, no one wished to talk about this. They like to start right now and say, well, the people that don't have anything are either lazy, made bad choices. But that might be true in some instances. But I'd like to go all the way back and start, and maybe in doing so, we can find a soft spot in our heart and realize that those that are less fortunate wasn't by choice but by circumstance. And those of you that think that this is making an excuse, it is not. It is simply trying to openly and overtly speak to something that many people won't talk about. And the first thing they'll dismiss it is, well, let's get on over that, get past that, you know. Well, the fact is, as an entire population or nation of people were displaced. So we have that element in our history. No one ever attempted to address that within the government or anyone. So what happens is that with this, no one is willing to accept the fact or responsibility that the displacement of the native people will eventually resurface and pop up in our society, and there will be a population of people without anything because we have robbed them and created this problem for them. Agree or disagree, I'm really not seeking any comment in that fashion, but what I would say is that we've ignored that, and it's been dismissed. So we have that problem. It was never addressed, never really given full thought, and they tossed them to the reservations, and you have that. That's one part of it. Then you bring in a nation or population of people that are slaves, and they work for nothing because you treat them like nothing, and that population expands because you're breeding them. You're not just bringing them here. You're breeding them, all for the sake of wealth and growth and industrialization, and you want to raise cotton or sugar and what have you. So the people there that are brought to these shores and serve as slaves, well, that's a population that will eventually be declared free. But again, there was really no real concerted effort, honest effort, to address it. So we label them as misfits, the unfortunate, the downtrodden. And we yet to acknowledge, we as Americans have yet to acknowledge that we contributed to this, whether you agree or disagree, and we'll put that one on the shelf. Then we, and all because we're seeking to profit and build a strong nation, but we're not building houses because we don't want to be a socialist government. We want to be a capitalist societalistic society. So because we believe in individual growth and what have you, and every man for himself, if he's successful, fine. So then we bring in the immigrants from various places. And yes, a great many of them were successful, and a great many of them didn't have the same structured bigotry, planned bigotry, that was part of the system. They were allowed to pass. They were allowed to get things going, and because they bore white skin or what have you, and so there they are. Not all. And when we look at the overall makeup of people today that are have no homes or downtrodden, as some describe them, all hues, all colors, but no one has really spoken to or will acknowledge that it is the capitalistic approach that left these problems never addressed, because we believe that every man for himself and should grow. But through this process, you have the native people who are displaced, you have the slaves who are now freed, and you look to them, and then you bring in immigrants. And so the immigrants arrive not speaking the English, and yes, some of them send their children to school and what have you. But when you look at the overall makeup, what has occurred and what has taken place and how it influences, we've really never given much thought or concern or behave in a fashion that it is our society that actually created, in the way we approach things, some of this homelessness. And what happens is we stand back today and say, they're lazy. Let's throw in the element of drugs. Let's throw in the element of mental health. And I know some of you will say, well, we shouldn't be given mental health treatment for free. We shouldn't give medical for free. But it's an unfair assessment and statement that you lob everyone and put them in this big box without ever acknowledging that is the the growth of this nation, the foundation of this nation, is part of the contribution to what we have today, unless you think in a matter of hours and weeks. But if you think in long-term impacts and effects. And so everything along the way, supposedly you try and fix it. And so we move today with situations where there's alcohol abuse. You try dealing with trying to adjust to someone else's culture and be forced through the years to do that. Be forced to take away your language, and you can't speak your native tongue. You can't do these things. You can't be native because you're on the move. You're on the Trail of Tears or the Long Walk or those types of things. So you never really get to settle back in. And then you're met with discrimination when you try to leave the reservations or you try to leave the sharecropper's stranglehold. Where do you go? So you migrate to the north because you from the south, if you're a slave or a free man now or a sharecropper, you leave. So what do? Go to Chicago and invest in a bank? Where do you get the monies from? So all of these things have built up. And here in America, I know that some of you now, we've gotten to this point where there are no color lines. We're colorblind. We're a mixing pot or a salad of some sort. But the reality is, these things that created the problems initially were really never honestly adjusted, spoken to, worked on, attempted to fix. They came with affirmative action. That, too, was kicked down and frowned on. So today, when others had, if it was a race, let's say, others had a head start, a starting gun, in a sense, fired. And there was some people got the jump, so to speak. So when I see homelessness here, I don't see the individual who was, as some say, lazy, some say, drugged out. What I see is a system, a culture that has gone bad, that is finally playing itself out. Because things can only go for so long, and then there is a capacity, or it hits the peak. And what we're seeing today is the gentrification of these lands and building of houses, and they're all looking alike, and you got to have monies. But if you come from the old school, through up the system, you really didn't get the education because you had different obstacles, like your race. Like you didn't fit in. Or if you were a woman, you didn't fit. And a lot of the homeless people that we see now without homes are women. And we see the way the laws are written. Sometimes the woman she's drugged through you know what, end up with nothing in a divorce. The man ends up with everything and goes off and marries another woman and creates another family. So you now have a family. As I saw yesterday, they were disposable. You know, you marry early and then you have a family. Well, you want to try it again and get it right. So you divorce this one and she's left her to herself and her family to try and struggle and raise. And so when that one individual can't provide for that family, she then has to turn to aid. She has to turn to the community groups. She has to turn to, and then eventually, due to the high cost of rent and the cost of living, finds herself without a home, finds herself with the family without a home. So you look at this and you think, as you hear, and you get frustrated when you hear people say, well, they're just lazy and they're drug addicts, and it might be true, but in order to deal with some of it, it is. So when you look at all of this, a great many of the people that are homeless or without a home or simply a lot of them have been arrested and in prison where there is no transition. And yes, some were taken in for drugs, arrested, incarcerated for drugs. And again, in some instances, some people can get caught with drugs and pick up the phone and nothing happened. Just a recent reminder, look at Kurt Caldwell's daughter. I mean, there was a hint of drug use and destruction of campaign signs, and what happened? Laughed it off. But the reality is, I know some young men out there that, along the line, Icos, Waimanalo, and what have you, have gone to jail for serious charges when it could have been dealt with differently. So you got that portion of the population that can't get a job, and you find them working in situations where they are willing to work, but they can't do much because they have this label now. So you didn't free them. You basically created another type of slavery. You created another type of an obstacle that you supposedly, if you go to prison and you pay your time and you pay for your crime, supposedly, you're able to step back in society. But there's nothing out there that really helps unless they're nonprofits. But as far as the government is concerned, they arrest you, prosecute you, open the gate and let you out when your time's up. Where do you live? You go back to your family. So there's a portion of people that are homeless that under that condition. So if I could get anyone out there to just a government or what have you to say to themselves, we are contributing to this problem as well, not 100%. If I could hear what make me happy, would to hear someone acknowledge, just upright, up front, that this is what took place. We're not asking for sympathy when we speak of slavery. We're not asking for sympathy when we speak of the destruction and the killing and the maiming and displacement of Native people. Not, it's a little too late for the apologies and what have you, but to acknowledge it and incorporate it and say that today, because you had such power and you had all the guns and you had all of this, talking about guns in society, you have created a situation where people were never, ever brought into the fold and given equal opportunity, because it was not the intent. It's not in a capitalistic society as we know it, and the history is there. So we look at this and we say, those people, we got to do something about. We got to move them, and we move them around. And nothing's really is being done. That is, all those things that can be done, there's money being thrown by the state and the city and the federal government, but somewhere along the way it gets squandered, and nonprofits who have executive officers and directors and fancy vans to get here and do that and do this, but yet none of this is working. So the honest thing to do would be for to revisit this whole process, acknowledge that it is the system that contributed to the current state of affairs. And yes, I know individual choices have also contributed, but the basic problem is how we grew as a nation. And I'll argue with anyone, and I know that I could speak it in a different fashion if you'd like to, but just for those that I believe it really matters, and that is, unless we start as a nation and as a people, and homeless, those without homes across the nation, in parks across the nation, in streets and areas that you see homeless people struggling, barely making it. And the unfortunate thing is that there are a lot of children. Lots. And so if we want to tackle homeless issues, start with the state government. We have more meetings, and we have homeless czars, and we've had them, and they move about. But yet, you would think by now we could get a handle on it. And so what we do, the trickery that we allow, You know, I talk about the slavery and all of that in the old days. But follow how this works. And it's still prevalent and it's still amongst us, practices that are being employed. So let's just say, for example, the Kaka'ako Towers. The capitalistic approach is we want to beautify and bring jobs and money and what have you, and we're going to take this public land or land that the public generally uses, and we're going to convert it to a high rise. And in doing so, we're going to create a number of affordable homes. And we're going to do those affordable homes, and what we'll do as part of that, and if you allow us to build it and make exceptions and exemptions to the laws and what have you, and if you allow us to do that, we're going to give a certain percentage of affordable homes. Well, first of all, that is probably one of the craziest things there are, because even if what is affordable and who can afford it? And if I'm paying $1 million for an apartment, do I want to see a guy who comes in with a $300,000? It's going to cause some problems with my property, and that's the fear. So here's the trick. So they get you, get the government, and the government is part of this, our leaders. They say, well, okay, we'll allow you to build in it if you agree and promise to build affordable homes. What you don't know is that the government permits that builder to come back and visit the city offices and say, well, you know, we'd like to buy back that affordable housing thing and give so much money. And I've shared with you on some of the earlier shows about a year or so ago where this practice occurs. And you might build at Colina, but your affordable homes that you have is up in Makakilo, because you come back and revisit and get a different agreement. So the approach to homelessness or those without homes or the less fortunate, it's not a sincere one. And then they move to the beach. They move to the sidewalks, because there's this constant, what I call harassment and herding of the people in these predicaments. Never speaking, but the czar is still wearing three-piece suits and going to fancy meetings and getting per diem and flying here and there and doing whatever. Yet the people, we toss in this thing where you know, and I can't let it go. There's two people that I'm really concerned with that is in government that do nothing for the people and contribute to the demise of the people and the homeless. And that is one, Senator Will Lespero. And the other one is the city councilman, Nestor Garcia. The others do nothing. But these are people that, taking consideration of all things, they should be advocates, being aggressive. Well, Will Aspera has on occasion, and currently, his son, and we've talked about this, I'm repeating matters, but his son sits in a situation where he is the director or one of the higher management levels in the at the Next Step shelter and what have you, and the Waikiki Community Center, Health Center, is supposed to handle areas out to Evan, Hal Bush, and those areas. And speaking with some of the people out there, now, they haven't seen them in months. But yet, we get monies. And we give monies to these organizations. We've taken city money and federal monies and given them to these organizations. And yet, they fail the people. They do nothing for them. So I broach this subject and I talk in this fashion to say there's a lot more to it than walking up or pulling up to the beach and you look around and you see these tents or no tents or just lean-tos or whatever they're trying to shield themselves from the elements. And we quickly conclude that they're lazy, downtrodden, but we don't know. We seem to have erased history. We don't know those individuals. We don't know that in the parks there's people with problems with memory. There's people with mental illnesses, bona fide mental illnesses that go untreated. And so the idea is this way, what I fear is that in Kakaako, for example, I've heard in past years say, and Hal Bush area, we should just go ahead and develop it because look at the type of people that it attracts in its current state. So what's the current state? Well, if you were to go to Hal Bush today, I mean today, this Sunday, and you go over there and you will attempt as a taxpaying citizen who you know you're being taxed for infrastructure in our parks and whatever, and attempt to use the restroom. And using that restroom is impossible because it's boarded up. But what is in place is 3 to 4 portable potties. And those portable potties, in some occasions, should be considered a health risk just if by walking by them. But how is it that the senator and the city council and these people allow a facility that we've paid for and we have maintenance people to manage it and do maintenance on it? How is it that we would allow that facility to be closed for years? Now, is it because the people that are homeless come in and shower, wash up? Or is it that you just abandon that and you're now paying an individual for maintenance and giving him insurance and all of that kind of money to as an employee, and then you go and rent porta potties, causing a greater taxing of the taxpayer by having to pay for that service? So it is being homeless or having no house or being mentally ill on the beach is one thing. But what is it that happens on the part of the government that amplifies it, that exacerbates it, that makes it worse? So it's quite easy to own up. Maybe solutions would be to homelessness in some instances, or reducing the numbers, would be to develop and incorporate a transition, a bona fide transition now, facility with re-education of people that have been incarcerated. A bona fide, aggressive effort to treat the individuals and don't come along and say, well, as a private individual, we don't have a right to incarcerate them because of their mental health. So, in other words, leaving them in place and letting things go to hell in the handbasket is conducive to, it gives a good argument to the governor when he says that, well, look at the place. I mean, it's run down and what have you. No, it's not run down. You let it run down. You've created this situation. And I, these are just my views, what I see, what I feel when I pull up and see tents. I don't see someone violating society. I see someone that has been violated by society. Because, again, it's the survival, not of the fittest in our situation, it's survival of the fortunate. So if you're fortunate to have been born on a pineapple plantation and your father was a worker and things worked out and he got lucky and made some money or something worked out in his way, and you were able to go to school and do that, that's the fortunate. Doesn't bring into the fold the fittest, because there's always going to be an exception. And on plantations, they're not giving away anything. So when the plantation closes, bottoms up, what happened to those people? They move to the cities or their families. Or what happens if a family has a father and a mother and they work on the plantation and he has five kids and then the father dies or the father leaves of whatever or become debilitated? What happens to that wife and her four or five kids? These stories, we don't see that when we walk up, and we don't know if these are the prodigy or the children or the offspring of that two generations back or three generations back that were in that predicament. We don't see that. There was nothing, no safety net, no nothing. So when we look at this and we say, there's a lot of jobs out there, believe it or not, and call I'll get with you regularly. There's a lot of jobs out there. But here's the problem. Some of us are so greedy that there are people that live on the beach that have the ability to serve as an engineer or to serve as a carpenter. But within state and city government, you have double dippers because the system allows that. That's the, not to do anything to do with fit, but the fortunate. You're fortunate to have someone that would allow you to turn around, retire in one position, and then go and rehire in another position when the guy on the beach was kicked out or not allowed in. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hi, Carol. Listen, I always like to say these statistics because they reveal a lot. You know, there's about 18 million homes and apartments across this land, housing apartments, and there's maybe 3 to 5, probably more, ill-housed, or I mean, the homeless folks, and maybe, or a lot of folks are pretty ill-housed, too, stay on their friend's couch or whatever, but, I mean, this is what happens when you have this capitalist system. You can't just occupy these places and make them a place where people could stay. They stay vacant and they rot and they deteriorate all to serve the money system, you know, so that they can make money. The deal is you've got a whole industry, a whole real estate industry that isn't based on number one, housing people, but making money for folks, you know. Mm-hmm. So and here's another one I just think is just unbelievable. Back in the late 70s, you had about $83 billion, and HUD. Low-income housing that was happening. I mean, that was their budget. And now, I'm not quite sure about it. I know just for homeless, it's just a little over $1 billion they're spending to help homeless folks all across the country. That is so minuscule. And here's another thing. They just did it. There's a study that was had. And they figured about $20 billion, that's a little tiny drop in the bucket, would be enough to make sure everybody has a place to stay, through Section 8 and other kind of things or whatever. And I mean, that's so minuscule. I mean, you're talking about a couple of aircraft carriers and a few fighter planes and that kind of stuff. And why? I mean, this is going back 30 years ago. Why have we decided that? Why have we made a policy that we don't? We're not gonna make sure people are housed. Because I'll tell you what, when you're not housed, try to do a job, try to go to a job and live in a tent somewhere at night, or try to get your life together. And then there's half the folks are folks that are mentally ill, and they couldn't help it. They were born with these genetic malfunctions, but they've been cutting that and cutting that and cutting that like nothing's business. And then they just demonized homeless folks. Oh, you're just kind of lazy. You just like to sit on the sidewalk and drink and smoke and just carry on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, you know, actually a lot of folks, that's what they end up doing because the conditions that they have to live under are so awful, they can't cope with it. Some of us folks are able to try and cope with it as best we can, but, you know. Anyway, I just thought this would add to, you know, this discussion, you know. It all comes down to a political will, you know. We can solve this problem. I mean, I remember back in the 60s, after World War II, 50s, 60s, I mean, housing was a big priority, man, you know, and most folks were not, there was no real homelessness. People lived in shacky, I mean, you know, in not great places, a lot of folks, but at least they had a place to stay out of the weather, you know. Anyway, I'll let you go and listen to the rest of what you're saying. I think you're really getting on to some good stuff there. Hello? Oh, okay.
Are you there? Dave? Lost Dave there. But anyway, again, now some of you may disagree wholeheartedly, and I understand, and some of you probably think that this is the craziest thing you've ever heard me say, but what I would say, just the opposite, it is the craziest things that we refuse to talk about. It is some of the most insensitive behavior, and we so quickly dismiss it, and in order to know what the solution is, you should occupy in your mind the causes, the cause and effect. We are seeing, if we only think in a matter of minutes, fine. But if we think historically and all these factors that we have the answers right at hand. That would, acknowledging what has transpired in the past, what triggered most of this, we then can get a handle on it. But if we're sincere, but if we're not, and I'm not objecting to capitalism or anything, I mean, whatever system we have, but you, at some point you can't say that we're doing this for the betterment of the people, but there is a percentage of people that are just going to get thrashed. There's going to be several million that's not going to have anything or going to struggle, but for the sake of capitalism, we're going to move forward. So when we move forward, that's the big question. What is it that we're doing? What are we moving forward for? If we are able to sit down and say that a portion of us is going to be expendable, we're going to have. But here's something that's new, the gentrification and the importation of the others from other countries who have been successful, and they then come here. So Hawaii, for example, is a perfect place, the perfect example where everyone wants, when they've successfully made it, whatever country they're from, they can move in and buy large portions of land and build it and drive up the rent and drive up the taxes. And the government comes along and tax you. And so you can't afford it because you've retired. And now we see senior citizens out there with shopping carts. We see senior citizens walking along with nothing. And I know you're probably going to dismiss most of it as they're crazy. Well, I don't believe. I think the people that are crazy is the ones that drive by and look at them and buy into this game that it can't be fixed. When the governor, you see how quick the czar, this gentleman that was with the Catholic Church, and then he plops down in the czar seat, and then now he's at IHS or wherever. So then we brought in Kippen and what have you. where is this sustainability? Where is the real commitment when they float like butterflies in and out of government? That speaks of what the government's real intentions and purpose is. So being displaced by government activities and finding ourselves pointing the finger at others, and I do this talk about this today because that's what we would be talking about anyway, and some of the people that have contributed yesterday, and I'll talk about it in the next hour and share with you what I witnessed. There's Polly Grace and Wynai. More than 1,200 people assemble, and these are people that have no homes or just have fallen on hard times, or and the children. But I can tell you one thing. What I saw yesterday, there's this lady, she's about 4 feet tall. I'm probably four feet, a couple inches. Little tiny lady. And for 25 years, she has been feeding and assembling with the aid of others people that are, quote, less fortunate. And any one of us, I don't care who you are, if you think it's an exception, any one of us, I don't care how much money you have today, the more you have, the quicker, I believe, now in this system, you can end up on the street. Because you got sick, you got good insurance, but depending on the sickness and the illness or whatever, your conditions, they're going to look at you, and if you go to a home, and I know that you can buy into a retirement home, but all of that is potentially short-lived, depending on your finances, depending on your illness, and you too can find yourself out on the street. You too can find yourself. I spoke with one lady that is out on the street now, and her husband passed and left her quite sitting quite well, but she had a son who wanted to marry again, and married and had another family and wanted to buy a new house because he was busy paying also child support for the other. And reinvested and took out monies and loans against her property because he was the executor or something, however it was, and she found herself homeless. So circumstances is what really causes people and situations and how people treat people. But anyway, this thing yesterday was at the Kalailoa Raceway Park. To see more than 1,200 people being respected and shared with is absolutely, and especially, this all happened the day after the world was supposed to end. So why it's so interesting is that some of us didn't pay any attention to that nonsense, like Polly Grace. She didn't pay attention to the world ending. She knew that there's a need for the human spirit to be nurtured every day, even with the apocalyptic occurrence was knocking at our doorstep. She decided to hell with that, and we're going to put on this party and this annual Christmas party. So this is her 25th. There were companies out there that donated, and you're talking about coming together. Didn't see any government. I saw one individual, and we'll talk about it briefly about the other companies that participated and helped her. But imagine if one lady, slightly more than 4 feet tall, and I think she's either in her 80s or nearing, I might be giving too much to her age, but to put this together with the aid of her family and the aid of, I think there was PVT Land Company, HECO, Gold Medal, Metal Gold, Vince Monovi, and to see it come together, they didn't imagine it would never have come together if they felt that the people that they were targeting and going to share with did something wrong, and that's why they're out on the beach. Or did something wrong, that's why they're in the shelter. Or was lazy because that's why they're in the shelter. They didn't see that. They saw there's a human being, they saw a human spirit, and they tried to nurture it. And when you see, we're going to post some of the pictures up on carolcox.com. And when you see the smiles on these children and their parents, I don't think you'd have a dry eye. I had a difficult time, not because feeling sorry for them, but being impressed that while the rest of the world was worried about the world coming to an end and how sweet it was, here's a person never even apparently didn't care. She's worried about how she was going to make other human beings feel good. You tried and see how long you can do it. And I tell you, I was thoroughly impressed. And so, anyway, we'll come back and talk about that. And I wanted to talk about this. We talked about the Humane Society. But today's article in opinion piece and the paper is an invitation for great comments and great criticism of the system and the Humane Society and Pam Burns. We're going to talk about that a bit, and we'll hopefully, when we do, you'll look to other organizations and the ones that are really out there, in my opinion, that are really working and caring for the animals and not caring for themselves, but putting themselves out, like Polly Grace. But anyway, I'll be back in the next hour, and don't hesitate to call in. And those of you that don't agree with what I said, though, the phone's open. Help yourself express. I've just expressed my opinions, and they stand. And so you're welcome to call in and share yours. I won't interfere. Aloha.
Stopped in this evening to get myself a little taste. The music is nice and swinging, and of course, I really dig the place. Of course, I haven't had much sleep lately, and I feel sort of down and out.
Yeah, but look over there in the corner, man.
Oh, yeah, there's something to shout about. Hey, hey, pretty baby. Girl, don't you go nowhere.
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you, pretty baby, yeah. Girl, don't you go nowhere. Cause as soon as I pay the bartender, girl, I'll be right there. She looked up and blushed and smiled, and my heart skipped a beat. She stacked from her head down to her feet. Hey, barkeep, you better come in and get your bread. This little girl's getting ready to split, and I'm about to go out of my head. Hey, hey, pretty baby. Girl, don't you go out that door.
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you, pretty baby.